Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's Monday, March 6, 2023, live to be broadcast on Wednesday, March 8, 2023, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. So a couple of things. You might be wondering why I'm wearing a Wonder Woman shirt.
So,
couple reasons. One is that it's March, which means it's International Month of Women. So women's concerns predominate this month. That's one reason. And Wonder Woman is a superhero who is really an honored, very strong woman who was birthed in something like the 1950s. So she's been a strong symbol of feminine power for many years, and that women can really be superheroes. And we really are. So that's one reason I'm wearing it. The other reason is tonight is Purim, that at sundown, it will be the 14th of Adar, 14th of Adar, 5783. And so it begins Purim. And I'm going to go to synagogue tonight, and you celebrate Purim. So Purim, it's a later years kind of celebration, and it's just a fun celebration, and it celebrates a book that's really in the later books of the Bible, past even Micah. So it's past the Tanakh. It's the story of Esther, and Esther wound up having to, she was a Jewish woman who lived in Persia. And the king Ahasuerus, his wife had disobeyed him. And in later years, his wife Vashti is seen as a hero because she wouldn't put herself on display sexually in front of a party that her husband had requested her to do. And she got thrown out from being queen. So because she got thrown out, he had to get a new queen. And so So one of his advisors, Mordecai, was a Jewish man, and he had a beautiful niece, Esther, and said, Esther, you should go and apply because you can be in a critical spot and you can help the Jewish people. You can be in a position where you could really do some good. And Esther didn't really want to do it, but she did anyway. And she went in, and she was so beautiful that she went, that she found favor with Ahasuerus, and she wound up being queen. And then ultimately, there was this villain, Haman, who wanted to kill all the Jews, and she found out about it, and she called him out in front of the court, and Haman and his cronies got dispensed with. So this is the celebration of Esther saving the Jews. And it's a fun holiday. Apparently, Haman wore a tri-cornered hat. And so you eat these little pastries called Hamantaschen. And the most traditional flavor of Hamantaschen is prune, because Hamantaschen are made in Eastern Europe. And in Eastern Europe, they eat a lot of prunes. But Hamantaschen can come in any flavor. And I went to Ryan's Deli and I got, prune, moon, which is poppy seed. I got apricot, and I got raspberry, and I got raspberry with sprinkles. And people do all kinds of creative things with Hamantaschen. Hamantaschen usually has a nice, they're usually made parva, so they're not made with butter. You have to make them with shortening or a butter substitute, because you want to have them after dinner. And if your dinner is kosher, you don't mix milk with meat, so you can't put butter in the dough unless you're vegetarian and you... And you're ovo-lacto vegetarian, and you're okay with having it. You only eat dairy meals or parva meals anyway. But most people will make them without butter so that they can have them anytime. They make them parva so that they have no meat and no dairy in them, and they can have them with a festive meal that may include some kind of meat. So they generally don't have butter in them, which makes the dough not taste as good as if it did have butter. They don't taste like butter cookies. Very different from the rugelach, which I also purchased at Ryan's Deli, which tastes like it has like a pound of cream cheese in it. So delicious. You might be thinking, what? Is she eating gluten? I'm like, yeah, once in a while I eat gluten. I don't have celiac disease. I just do better without eating gluten. But I do have it once in a while, and I have some enzymes that help to break down gluten. And I am not recommending this. Like, if you're a person who's gluten intolerant, but you don't have celiac, if you're just celiac disease, you should never be eating gluten. If you're merely gluten intolerant and you want to have some once in a while, you know, you have to make a choice. Do I eat the gluten and suffer the consequences? Or do I abstain? And sometimes you choose to indulge, and I definitely do indulge sometimes. We have a local farmer who does wonderful baking, who bakes bread out of her own rye that she grows, and it's amazing. And she makes this terrific sourdough bread, and I found that I was eating it every day, and then after a while, I was getting just, my digestion was not great. I mean, it wasn't dramatic. It was just not working the way it was supposed to. A little gassy, a little bloaty, you don't want to know. So I will occasionally eat gluten for special occasions, if it's something really special. And, you know, I like to eat hamantaschen on Purim. And I like to eat baklava when I go to Laziza's down in Yantic. And otherwise, most of the time, I don't eat gluten. So I found that if I have a supplement that has enzymes in it that help to break down gluten, and I took those, and I think it helped. So I'm not recommending this, but if you are a person who does eat gluten sometimes, even though you're gluten intolerant, there are enzymes that contain DPP4, which is an enzyme that does break down, helps you to break down gluten. And so it's not as noxious to you. Or if you get contaminated with gluten, that is, you eat gluten inadvertently, that it's in something that you did not realize, you can take these enzymes over time and it'll lessen your symptoms and help move it out of you quicker. So I found that worked for the hamantaschen and the rugelach. I'll probably have some more today, and then that'll be it. Any extra hamantaschen I have will be given to the synagogue and given to my staff, and that'll be that. And then I won't have it again for a year. So why am I wearing a silly costume, a Wonder Woman costume? Because the way that Purim is celebrated, Purim happens sort of close to Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras was what? That was a while ago already. It was a few weeks ago. So it was the 21st of February. So Mardi Gras and Purim sometimes fall close together, and sometimes they fall a couple weeks apart. So they're a couple weeks apart right now, but they occur around the same time of year. And so the reason that Purim is celebrated a lot like Mardi Gras, and the reason it's celebrated that way is the same reason Hanukkah is celebrated a lot like Christmas, that it's commercial. It's just an influence thing that they wanted to have a commercially viable holiday for Jewish people too. So they made Hanukkah into this whole big commercial thing. And the thing is that Hanukkah is not nearly as big a deal holiday as Christmas is in the Jewish religion. It really isn't a big deal at all. I mean, it's a later holiday. It is celebrating the Jews getting saved from ruin by the Syrians and the Maccabees saving them. But again, it's not a big deal holiday. And you don't necessarily have to take off work. It's not like Passover, and it's not like the high holidays. But it's celebrated with a lot of festivity and a lot of gifts and stuff because it's of commercialism, because it's celebrated around the same time as Christmas. Likewise, Mardi Gras at Purim is celebrated similarly to Mardi Gras only because it happens around the same time of year. And, you know, Jews like to party. You know, let's eat, let's party. And so how do you celebrate? You get together, you party. You're supposed to get so drunk you can't tell the difference between Haman and Mordecai, the good guy and the bad guy. And you frequently you go to synagogue, depending on the denomination in the synagogue that you attend. There will be some kind of a pageant. The kids will put together a play, usually with humor, and dress up like the different characters of Purim and put this play together. You're supposed to read the Megillah, which is the story of, and if you think the guy who invented Megillah Gorilla was Jewish, you're right. You read the Megillah, which is just a scroll. It's a story. You know, it's a book of a story of something going on. So, the Megillah for Purim tells the story of Esther. And every time the villain's name is mentioned, Haman, you make lots of noise and you blow on noisemakers, you stamp your feet, you yell, and you have these gruggers that are little noisemakers that you spin around and they make noise. And it's a really good time and you eat Hamantaschen. And I think you're supposed to give to charity as well. There's a few things that you're supposed to do during Purim.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When I go see my doctor tomorrow, should I make a lot of noise?
Yes. Yeah, because your doctor is Dr. Haman.
Yeah.
And you should give him a Hamantaschen.
Oh, there you go.
You can. I will send you with a Hamantaschen if you like. Okay. Wonder if he even knows about the story of Purim.
No idea.
That his name is the villain in the story of Purim. So he told me that he goes to see doctor. There's a doctor in Willimantic named Gregory Haman, H-A-M-A-N. And every time he says his name, I go, rawr! So it's pretty funny. And he's going to see him. You're going to see Dr. Haman on Purim.
Yeah.
That's big.
Is that a big?
That's really big funny. Thing. You have to bring him a Hamantaschen. Does he know the story? You'll find out.
I have no idea what
you'll find out. You tell him to read the story of Purim. He's not going to be real happy because his name, he's the villain. His whole family is the villain because it's his last name. So anyway, so I'm dressed up. So you can dress up on Purim like one of the characters in Purim, like Queen Esther or King Ahasuerus or Vashti or whoever. And really, I did a retelling of Purim one year where Vashti had escaped to the woods and she was living as a wise woman in the woods and living off the land and being an herbalist and stuff. And in this retelling, Esther went to see her to get advice and Vashti mentored her and told her what to do and how to get around Ahasuerus and not get killed. Vashti was Esther's confidant. And I don't know if anybody has put together a story like that besides me. Probably. I don't know. But, anyway. So you can also dress up as anything you want. So if you go to Israel and celebrate Purim, you could be dressed like anything at all. Maybe you could even wear Mardi Gras beads. I don't know. So you can dress up as one of the characters or you can dress up in any costume you like. So Wonder Woman. I have a few costumes stashed. I have a Wonder Woman and I have Supergirl. I have Harley Quinn and I have a pirate costume and I whip those out and maybe I should get another one at some point. Wise Woman Herbalist. I don't know. So that's why I'm dressed like this. In case you're wondering. And all right, so now let me talk about stuff I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about survival tips for the cold and flu season in our series about colds and flus. But first, I want to get to something. I've been talking to my patients about getting them to exercise. And I just wanted to just talk about some frustrations I have. First of all, the idea that people want to lose weight. And one of my jokes is like Fight Club. What's the first rule of Fight Club?
Don't tell anybody about Fight Club.
That's right. What's the first rule about weight loss?
Don't tell anybody about weight loss?
Don't talk about weight loss. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Why is that? Because weight is a fraught way to have people think about their health. And if people are stressed worrying about numbers on a scale, they don't focus on what's really important. It's not as important that you be a number on a scale as it is that you're happy and healthy. And it's more important for you to eat a healthy diet than it is for you to be a certain number on a scale and to tweak your carbs and your calories and your this and your that so that you actually lose weight. It's much better to focus on getting exercise that works for you, getting rest that works for you, getting into a state of health so that your digestive system works really well, getting strong, building muscle, eating a diet that works for you and makes you happy and healthy, regardless of what weight you wind up at. Because if you're focusing on the numbers all the time, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you're happy and healthy. It's more important that you have healthy cholesterol numbers and healthy blood sugar numbers than it is that you be a certain weight. And you can be at a poor weight, you could be at a healthy weight and have high cholesterol and high blood sugar. And you can be overweight, so-called overweight, with a high BMI, and have and be very healthy. So that's possible to do. it's probably harder to be healthy if your BMI is very high. So if your BMI, if you're talking your BMI is 35, 40, that you're probably not going to be as healthy, but it's not the fat itself that makes you sick. Although some would argue that if you have a lot of weight on, that puts stress on your joints. So there is that. But in general, it's not the fat itself. It's that you do get joint degeneration. It's that you have inflammation that is stored in the fat, and that you are probably doing things to maintain the fat that are not healthy for you. So correcting those things is more important than whatever numbers you have on a scale. It's again, it's much more important to have healthy blood sugar, healthy hemoglobin A1C, healthy cholesterol, and to be fit and to be able to carry on your activities of daily living. So that brings me back to exercise. So exercise, I've got pretty much dialed in. You know, if I get derailed from exercise, like I had COVID last month, and now Ron and I are pretty much through our COVID. I'm still taking it sort of easy, although I'm finding that I'm able to push myself a little bit more, and I'm comfortable, and I'm not having symptoms afterwards. So that's really good. That we're coming. I would say that we're pretty much through COVID. It's been 6 weeks, almost, or 5 weeks since we had COVID, and so we're pretty much on the down end of that. We're coming back from it, and we're being careful in terms of getting back into our full fitness program. Now that we've done that, the focus is on our fitness. Focusing on, am I eating healthfully? Am I eating enough healthy food? Are there foods I could eat more of? Are there foods I could eat less of? And it's generally not healthy to eat a lot of starch and sugar. And it's generally healthier to eat a lot of multicolored fruits and vegetables. And it's generally healthy to eat a good amount of protein. And the more active you are, the more protein that you want to eat. And what I'm telling women is a minimum of 70 grams of protein a day. And they're shocked when they hear that. I'm like, yeah, you want to eat that much protein. And if you're not, then you need to cut some other things out. And if you do that, guess what? Your weight is probably going to go in a direction that you're going to be happy about. But if you increase protein in your diet, protein does wonderful things for you. Protein, your body can break down protein and turn it into sugar so you have energy, but it doesn't like to. It would much rather burn your carbohydrates to do that, and it would much rather burn your fat to do that. If you eat protein, protein usually gets shunted into things like making hair, making skin, making organs, making muscle. And so when you eat protein, that's where it's going to go. And the older you get, the more protein you need to eat, because your mechanisms for rebuilding aren't as efficient. So you have to eat more to make that happen, because sarcopenia is a thing. Sarcopenia is where you lose muscle mass. So it's really important to eat your protein. So, and then the other thing is to exercise. Now, exercise doesn't mean do what I do, because, you know, I'm in a place where I get some kind of exercise most days. And there are days when the only exercise I get is yoga, or yoga and weightlifting. And there are other days I ride my bike, as well as do a little bit of stretching and yoga. But that's me. And I don't expect everyone to do that. And people are in various places in their life where it can be hard for them to get exercise. So, I talk to them about, they'll come in and they'll be like, I have this condition. Whether it's a stress condition, it's anxiety, it's depression, it's an autoimmune condition, it's polycystic ovaries, it's adenomyosis, it's endometriosis, it's some other condition, it's menstrual irregularities. People come in with all these different conditions, and then I talk to them about, so what are you doing for exercise? And they're not, they just haven't prioritized it at all. So they're not moving. And we were meant to move. And I'm like, all right, but you have to exercise. And then they give me all the reasons why they're not exercising. That it's about time. It's about that they this, that, or the other. They have one joint that is giving them trouble, so they don't exercise at all. And I know for me, when I broke my arm, I stayed off the bike for maybe a week, and then I got back on it after a week because I realized that I was able to get on the bike within a sling. And of course, I was on the trainer. I wasn't outside, but I was on the trainer and I was able to ride. And gradually, as I was able to use my arm, I started to use my arm again. And then I wasn't doing my resistance training because, well, I can't use my right arm. And then I talked to an exercise physical therapist, and they said, don't worry about it. You can exercise. Just exercise on the side that that's not injured. And I said, well, if I do that, I thought I was going to overdevelop on that side and not develop on the other side. And she said, don't worry about it. One, you know, the people who are amputees or people who don't have the use of one limb, that's what they do. And she also said that don't worry about it. As you heal, you'll catch up. So even if you have to do 15 pounds in one hand and 5 pounds in the other, that's what you'll do. And then you'll work that arm back up and eventually you catch up and it'll be fine. So I did what she said, and I started to realize that all of the exercises I was normally doing, I could modify, because I wasn't about to do one-armed push-ups. I was able to do my weight routines because I had dumbbells, one hand, one in the other. I just did a light weight in the right hand. Until, like she said, I worked up to it, and then finally I was back to normal. But, you know, there was a time where I was able to put some weight on that right arm. Well, there was a time when I couldn't put any weight on the right arm, so I wasn't going to do one-arm push-ups on the floor, but I did them on the wall. And when you do them on the wall, you have a lot more control about how much weight you put on it. And I also did one-armed planks on the wall, facing forward and then facing sideways. And I just wasn't able to do the right side on the wall until that arm had healed a little bit more. So I made modifications and did my exercises that way. And people don't always think about that. Okay, if I can't exercise the way I'm used to, can I modify what I do so that I can exercise? How can I do this? And you can ask an exercise physiologist. You can look on YouTube. There are a lot of ways to do this. The other thing I hear is I don't have time. So that's when I talk about exercise snacks. So an exercise snack doesn't just mean you're eating a protein bar. That's an exercise snack or a chewy. Exercise snacks is that you're taking little snacks of exercise. So you're doing 5 minutes at a time. So you have a break in your day and you do 5 minutes of squats. You have a break in your day, you do 5 minutes of stretches. You have a break in your day, you do 10 minutes of yoga. And you don't have to do them stacked, because people think, well, I'm too tired. I don't have 30 minutes to do it. So I don't do it at all. And what I'm trying to get through to you is, don't do 30 minutes. Anything you do is better than nothing. There was a study that came out recently that said 11 minutes of movement makes a big difference. 11 minutes of walking makes a big difference in your health. So 11 minutes of walking means walking around your yard, or maybe even walking around your house. You know, if you want to track it, you can track it on your smart device, on your phone, on your watch. And then you can have a record of it. You know, there are apps that will track your walking for you, track your steps for you. Then you have a record of it. You can look at it and feel proud of what you did. So it's really important to do that. You don't have to do it all at once. And you don't have to, you know, feel like you have to have 30 to 60 minutes of a block to do exercise all at once. On days when I don't have 30 to 60 minutes at a stretch, I do 10 to 20 minutes. And that's all I do. And that way I get something in and I feel good and I keep the momentum going. And it makes me feel really good when I'm doing it. And you'll find that too. That if you're winding up sitting all day, or you're just doing a lot of the exercises you're doing cause you a lot of stress, getting some kind of exercise is going to be really helpful for you. So the other thing I have to say is that exercise is a treatment for all of the things you're coming in for. It is a treatment for irritable bowel syndrome. It is a treatment for autoimmunity. It is a treatment for arthritis. It is a treatment for blood sugar issues. It is treatment for insulin resistance. It is a treatment for high cholesterol. It's not just that, oh, exercise is good for you in its own ways. It is a treatment for all the conditions you're coming in to see me for. It's a treatment for allergies. If you have... if you exercise regularly, you'll ultimately lower you increase your metabolism, you lower your inflammatory level, and you're going to have less symptoms of allergies, of respiratory allergies. I know people who have told me that, you know, in high allergy season, they go out and they ride their bikes or they get some kind of exercise and their allergy symptoms improve. So, mm-hmm. So you found that.
Yeah. And then they come back with a vengeance if it's been really a really polleny day. But if I come home and then take a shower and do the neti pot, it keeps that calm down.
Right.
Yeah. So that helps. But
anyway. Neti pot is your friend.
The neti pot is my friend.
Yes, the neti pot is definitely your friend. Okay, so please consider getting exercise. One of the things you can do, you can always look online, exercise for people who don't have time to exercise. If you Google that, you're going to find some routines to do. You know, short exercise routines, 10-minute exercise routines. You might not have half an hour, but certainly you have 5 or 10 minutes. And find exercises you can do where you don't have to change your clothes. Or dress in clothes that you could exercise in. Personally, you know, that Ron knows that when I come home from seeing patients, I really need to do some yin yoga so that I come down from my day. And I generally don't change my clothes to do it. You know, if I'm wearing an outfit that I can exercise in, I do that. Sometimes, if I'm dressed up and I'm wearing a skirt, and I can't really do the yin yoga in that outfit, it comes off and I put my nightgown on and I do it in that. And that's it. You know, if I feel like I need a pair of shorts underneath the nightgown, so I throw in a pair of shorts. But don't make it a big deal, you know, that, oh, I have to be wearing my exercise clothes. I have to be in a certain place at a certain time. The other thing is make sure that you have a spot inside your home, because I have people who are like, well, I'm not going to the gym. And they're either not going to the gym because they don't like gyms, or they don't want to spend the money, or they're still COVID shy, which is fine. I have not been exercising indoors in places other than my home. But I figured out how to do it. I'm either on my trainer downstairs or I'm in my bedroom where I have a big space. I have a big space in my bedroom where I can do weight exercises and I can do my yoga. So make sure you have a space cleared in your house that's ready to go. Everything is set up. So if you have a little time, you're not scrambling to put together the things that you need, that everything is right there. My weights are underneath the dresser. They can just be easily pulled out and set up. My yoga stuff is in a corner in the room where I can just grab it. My blocks, my bolster, my strap, my thing to cover my eyes. It's all right there. It's very easy for me to go ahead and do that. I can even exercise in my office. I have space enough, like if I really need to, and there have been times when I've done that, I have my tablet at the office and, I'll set up a YouTube video and I'll do yin yoga in my office if I need to. But be creative about exercising anytime, anywhere, any place, for any amount of time, even if it's 5 minutes, it's great. It's going to be better for you than not exercising. It's a really good idea. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about more tips for the cold and flu season. So first of all, what's a cold? What we call a respiratory tract infection that's limited mainly to the head. Generally, there's no fever to a low grade fever. Symptoms can include a sore throat, swollen tonsils and glands, runny nose, watery eyes, a mild fever, headache, fatigue, malaise, that lethargic, apathetic feeling you get when you're sick, loss of appetite, and muscle and joint aches are all possible. Viruses that may cause it are the rhinovirus, coronavirus, respiratory syncytial virus, which usually also comes with a cough, or parainfluenza virus. Now, obviously, if you have symptoms like that, in this day and age, you should be testing yourself for COVID-19. You need to know if you have COVID-19 and then follow the protocols for COVID-19 wherever you work. And right now, the protocol is if you test positive for COVID-19, go ahead and stay home for 5 days. And then on day 6, you can go out in the world, but wear a mask. Personally, when I had COVID-19, starting on day 6, I did go out in the world, only masked, but I limited it. I didn't go to big gatherings. I went to my office and hid in my office and did virtual visits, but I had the opportunity to go to a big gathering and I didn't go. I didn't think that was appropriate. I did run into stores, S-T-O-R-E-S, not the town, Maybe I ran into the town as well. I don't know. But I did go into stores and kept myself and went and, you know, spent maybe 5 or 10 minutes in the store and left and didn't stand and talk to anybody. So that's how I handled COVID. So that's what a cold is. The flu, interestingly, people may use the word flu in various ways colloquially. They may just mean a cold or even use it to mean a GI bug, which is, gastroenteritis. Influenza is a specific set of viruses that can give you all the symptoms of a cold, but generally causes a fever, and the symptoms last longer and are more severe. Influenza is also more likely to affect the GI tract, your gastrointestinal tract. Then bronchitis is specifically an infection of the bronchi, and a cold or the flu can give you bronchitis, and so can respiratory syncytial virus. Those are the tubes that lead from your trachea to your lungs. It can happen in isolation or as part of a cold or the flu. Pneumonia can be viral or bacterial, but is specifically an infection that has spread to the lungs. So it's beyond the bronchi, and it's in the tubes in the lungs. So COVID-19 and how it's different. It can have gastrointestinal, cardiovascular, and neurological effects, induction of reduced immunity. The virus may be causing reduction in the number of dendritic cells and also their functionality, which stimulate the function of B and T immune cells to make proteins to fight the viruses. If this reduction in number and functionality persists, it will make it harder for the immune system to fight other viruses and bacteria in the future. The regeneration of dendritic cells is also found to be delayed. Interestingly, there's some animal research suggesting that mushrooms, including domestic white button mushrooms, can enhance the maturation of dendritic cells. So it might be helpful to eat mushrooms cooked in water to help with the immune reduction induced by COVID-19. We should eat lots of mushrooms. And if you can have mushrooms, you know, have mushroom coffee, but you can get mushrooms in coffee, you can get mushrooms in matcha, you can get mushrooms you can get just plain mushroom powder to throw into food. You can eat mushrooms as part of your food, which, you know, when I'm encouraging us to, when we eat soup, we should have mushrooms in the soup.
Okay.
Because the best way to get your beta-glucans in your mushrooms is what? In a hot water extract. I learned that at the CNPA convention. So there's more herbs. Astragalus, lyceum, which is goji berries. I keep goji berries here. And goji berries are lovely because you can buy them dried. And you can use them anywhere you would use raisins. I think they taste better than raisins. Although raisins are good, don't get me wrong. But I think they taste better than raisins. So you could throw them into muffins and trail mix and cookies and, you know, and energy bars. And you can just snack on them. And you know, I always keep some goji berries here, and I throw them in my muesli or my oatmeal, and I'll eat them as on their own, and I'll bring some in for Ron, and I'll tell him to eat them. Do you like goji berries?
They're okay.
They're not exciting. You can get goji, and you can get chocolate covered goji berries, and I think they're very good. You can get goji berry juice. Has wonderful antioxidants in it, and it's really good for your immune system. Panax ginseng also help to stimulate, and they stimulate dendritic cells. And so they're really good for your immune system that way. That's part of how they're good for your immune system. There are many more herbs used in traditional Chinese medicines, such as petivaria, acaranthes, and polypore. So it's possible that the body downregulates the maturation and number of dendritic cells because of the extreme cytokine response induced by COVID-19. These herbs and mushrooms may help to modulate the extreme immune response caused by COVID-19 infection, help to restore it to homeostasis. So one way to get to improve your immune system post-COVID-19 is to eat mushrooms. And again, you can use the mushrooms. It's always good to eat the mushrooms. Eating mushrooms in a hot water extract is how you're going to get the most benefit from the beta-glucan, which is the active ingredient in mushrooms. So if you're doing mushroom coffee, mushroom tea, mushroom matcha, mushroom golden milk, mushroom hot cocoa, that's a good way to do it. And another great way to do it is to eat actual mushrooms, whether they're button mushrooms, portobello mushrooms, reishi and shiitake. Those can go in your soups and stews. And maitake is another one that can go in your soups and stews. Eating those regularly can be really helpful, but they should not be eaten raw. Don't put them raw in your cell. That's not a good way to eat mushrooms. There could be some toxins in them, and the other piece is that the beta glucans have not been activated, and that's important to do. That's what's going to give you the boost for your dendritic cells and get your immune system back on track. Basic prevention for colds and flus. This is going to shock you. What's the first thing to do to prevent colds and flus?
Wear a mask.
No. 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 No.
Good work.
Begins with R, ends with T.
Rest.
Yeah. Yes. Take time off from your life. You will get sick less or shorten the duration of an illness if you rest. So this one catches COVID, of course, and it's so predictable because, you know, he started teaching 7 classes a week in early January. And my prediction was, yeah, by the beginning of February, he's going to get sick. And who was right? You know, because because he's getting up at oh dark 30 and going to the community centers, teaching all these classes, and he's barely taking a break. And somebody comes in and spews virus in the room and comes home sick. Of course he did. So, and this is when, and he got sick when it usually happens to me as well, which is the end of January, beginning of February, because it seems like that's you have this time of year where you're still very fit and you're very active and you're pushing yourself into November, and then the eating season starts. And it's getting darker and it's getting colder and you're still trying to be very active. And there's a lot of social stuff that happens and while it's getting darker and colder. And, you know, then it's Thanksgiving, and then it's not long before it's Hanukkah, and then it's Christmas. And you're busy running around seeing all these people and not getting a lot of rest at a time of year when your body's saying, can you please sit down and slow down? And you don't. And then we go to Florida. And that's stressful, too. And then we come back from Florida and it's... bam, he's into his big spin time of year. So there wasn't, at a time of year where there's supposed to be a lot of rest, there wasn't. And so, of course, you know, and so that adds up. And by the end of January, beginning of February, you're run down enough that there's an opportunistic virus that goes, yep, this looks like a good spot. Dendritic cells are down. Immune function is down. Let's do it. So we get sick. All right. So back to basic prevention, washing your hands frequently every time you've been in a store or touched a public doorknob. If someone is sick in your home or office, every half hour, hand sanitizer and soap and water both work. Just make sure to scrub for at least 25 seconds. You can sing ABCs or Happy Birthday slowly. Again, remember that COVID-19 is not primarily spread by fomites. Fomites are where the virus sits on a surface. You touch it and then you touch your face and now you have the virus. But RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, and gastrointestinal viruses, by the way, norovirus is on the rise right now. So be careful of that. They are spread by fomites. So it's still a good idea to sanitize your hands. So keep surfaces clean, wash your hands frequently. You still want to do that. I mean, I've still have hand sanitizer in my car and I clean my hands when I come out of the store. Clean your nose. Viruses collect in your nasal passages and you can wash them out and disrupt them and the water and bacteria that carries them. Neti pot with sea salt and xylitol, nasal spray with the same or with grapefruit seed extract, cotton swab dipped in saline, xylitol, or tiny drop of tea tree oil. So that's one of the things I wanted to mention, that if you're not keen on doing a neti pot and you don't like to spray the inside of your nose, you can take a Q-tip, a cotton swab, and dip it in salt water with a tiny drop of tea tree oil, and you can swab your nose out, and that will work as well. That will be helpful as well. And it's probably better to spray, or because you get more stuff in your nose that way, and it's probably better to use a neti pot because you flush. But if you won't do either of those things, you can just swab your nose with those items. Then gargle. Viruses also collect in the back of your throat. I think not as much with COVID. We learned that they really love to attach inside your nose because you have a lot of ACE2 receptors in your nose and not as much in your throat. the Omicron variant of COVID like to attach to the back of the throat, because the Omicron variant of COVID has a section of it that is the common cold, and common colds do like to attach to the back of your throat. And guess what? Those other viruses I told you about and coronaviruses that are not COVID, they're still out there and you can still catch them. So gargling is a good idea. Rhinoviruses will collect in the back of your throat, give you a sore throat. That's why COVID, Omicron gave people sore throats, because the viruses collect back there. So if you gargle, you disrupt them. Sea salt, xylitol, oral xylitol rinse, sea salt and tea tree oil, or even echinacea throat spray. Or you can get throat sprays that have echinacea, just echinacea, or echinacea and golden seal, or echinacea, golden seal, and propolis. And propolis is wonderful. It's a resin that bees make to keep the hive disinfected. And resins are sticky, so they will stick to surfaces and exert their antimicrobial activity while they're sitting there. You can take elderberry syrup daily. It's been shown to prevent and shorten the duration of cold and flu. There's controversy about whether to take elderberry during COVID-19 infection because it tends to increase cytokine function, but there's not good evidence that elderberry will induce a cytokine storm. Having said that, while I had COVID-19, I discontinued elderberry. I do think it's a great thing to take when you're not concerned about cytokine storms for prevention of ordinary colds and influenza, and also antioxidant support in the body, including musculoskeletal. It's an old nature cure for sciatica, and there is some thought that sciatica has a virally mediated component to it. All right, get regular exercise. We talked about that already. If you're heating your body up regularly and moving your circulation and sweating, you're less likely to get sick. Eat whole foods. Vegetables, fruit, and clean protein all have components in them to help to prevent and treat illness and support immunity. Don't smoke or vape. Do I have to explain this? It's really damaging to your respiratory tract. Reduce stress. If there are things that are making you unhappy in your life, do what you can to fix them. Also engage in restorative activities such as naps, time with pets, time with friends, leisure walks in nature, meditation, yoga, tai chi, quiet sitting, intimacy, hugs, kisses, sex. Those are all things that are stress reducing.
Yeah.
Take minerals, vitamins and minerals. Vitamin A is a wonderful antiviral. Vitamin C stimulates the function of white blood cells and helps you to produce collagen. So it strengthens the lining of your respiratory passages and your digestive system. And vitamin E. Vitamin E is best taken with tocotrienols, but it's also a great antioxidant. Selenium is a cofactor in the production of glutathione, which is a wonderful antioxidant. And zinc. Regular consumption of zinc. Zinc is a wonderful antimicrobial. And zinc, you can do lozenges as well. I've found that if I do lozenges that have just a little bit of zinc in them, they don't give me an upset stomach. And I have lozenges that have elderberry, zinc, and vitamin C in them. So the dose of zinc is low, but you don't need the dose of zinc. Like there's maybe 2.5 milligrams of zinc in the lozenge, but you're using the zinc is in a lozenge to act locally. So it's fine that the dose is low. So you're supposed to, if you get a zinc lozenge, you're supposed to suck on it. And I have these wonderful lozenges that have elderberry in them, but I think they're flavored with raspberry or something, because elderberry by itself doesn't taste that great unless you sweeten it and stuff. So elderberry lozenges, you know how you get those elderberry gummies and elderberry lozenges and they're like, they taste really yummy and you're very motivated to take them? That's probably because they have raspberry flavoring in them. So, and mine are no different. My elderberry lozenges have some kind of other fruit flavor in them that make them pretty yummy. So I suck on those. Like if I have the least bit of sore throat or the least bit of something off in the back of my throat, I'll pop one of those and suck on it. And the idea is that the elderberry, zinc, and vitamin C are going to act locally on my actual throat. Obviously, I'm going to eventually swallow them, but because it's a lozenge and I'm sucking on them, they're going to clear things up. You can get a flu shot. Not everyone wants to do this, and make sure if you decide to do it, you read the NVIC, National Vaccine Information Center, 8 questions list. If you've never had a bad reaction to a vaccine and you have a high exposure rate, you may want to do this. And if it's your habit to get a flu shot every year, the idea of getting a flu shot is that they've been looking at the strains of virus that are happening in the season before. So they'll look at what's going on, particularly in Australia. In Australia, our seasons are opposite theirs. So they have winter when we have summer. So in the summertime, in our summertime, they're observing what strains of flu are happening in Australia, and they will often make the flu shots based on what they saw in Australia. And then they're presuming that that time of year that we're going to get those same strains. That may or may not happen. And the thing is, in order for, and the flu shot, you say, whoa, but I got a flu shot and I got the flu anyway. Well, yes, it's kind of like COVID. It's not intended to prevent you from getting the flu. It's intended for you to give you a heads up. So you start making some antibodies. So you have some antibody level when you've encountered the virus. And so that it's not necessarily meant to prevent you from getting the flu. Also, they don't always get the strains right, and strains mutate. Viruses are famous for mutating. That's what they do. And that's why COVID, the earlier versions of COVID, were so much more virulent than the Omicron that Ron and I got. Although there are those who think that it's not necessarily that it's less virulent, it's that most people do pretty well with COVID, and Ron and I were vaccinated a bunch of times, so we already had some spike protein antibodies going into it, and we didn't do too bad. We had a lot of health factors in our favor. We had some health factors not in our favor, I'm stressed, and he is a cardiovascular patient, essentially, even though he's corrected and doing very well. But in our favor, we eat well, we exercise. I get plenty of rest. He gets a pretty good amount of rest. He doesn't get as much as me, but that's his constitution. But, you know, when you are exhausted, you usually take a nap.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what do you do if you're doing all that and you still come down with something? Here's what we naturopaths say. Rest. I said that already. Turn off your life as much as you can. The best thing you can do when you're sick is, wait for it, you heard it right here, as little as possible. Stay home from work. Stay in bed. Get someone to watch the kids. Sleep. Watch stupid movies. Sleep more. And also, sleep. Also remember that if you spend time around other people, you're more likely to spread the illness to them, whatever illness you have, and that's not nice. And not only is it not nice, it could be, you may do fine with the illness, but it's not good for other people. That's why I chose to stay home from the chocolate festival and the co-op birthday party. I didn't want to take any chances of passing this thing to someone who might not do as well. And I know in our community, there are a lot of people who are not vaccinated at all, and I did have a patient recently. It was an older lady who chose not to get vaccinated for COVID. And in the last year, we're talking, you know, after COVID's gone through its various iterations, she wound up in the hospital on a ventilator. Now, the thing is, if you wind up in the hospital on a ventilator with COVID now, they know better how to treat you. So you're more likely to do well than you were early in the pandemic. So, all right, the next thing is, if you're sick, wash your hands frequently. If you're around other people, it helps stop you from spreading the illness to them. Again, fomites, not as big a deal for COVID, is a big deal for other respiratory viruses as well as gastroenterological viruses. Clean your nose and gargle. I'm not sure if this has been studied, but it's my experience that, this was written before I knew. There is a study on neti pots where they found that if you use a neti pot while you have COVID, you're going to be less likely to wind up in the hospital and you're going to get over it faster. That's actually been studied. So neti pot with salt. That's it.
There you go.
So if you use a neti pot, xylitol, saline, nasal spray, or swab your nose with saline, xylitol, and or essential oils like tea tree, this will shorten the duration of your illness and also ease the passage of secretions. Take more elderberry syrup, especially if you have influenza. Elderberry has been studied to help you through influenza. You might not want to take it if you have COVID because of the slight possibility it'll increase a cytokine storm. It probably won't, but there are other things you can take while you have COVID. Depending on the product you're using, the preventative dose may be 1/4 to 1 teaspoon a day. You can triple or quadruple that while you're ill. Follow instructions. Talk to your naturopath. Talk to your doctor. Don't eat. That doesn't mean don't eat at all. If you eat too much while you're sick, your body will be distracted from fighting your illness. If you have no appetite, it's okay not to eat or to eat very lightly. Chicken or vegetable broth and tea are great. Drink lots of fluids. This is the best way to thin and increase your secretions and help them to come out, hastening the release of waste products from fighting your illness. Lots of water, herb tea, soup are all great. You can take vitamins and minerals. Suck on zinc lozenges. We already talked about that, which can fight your cold at the first sign. Vitamin A is a great antiviral. Vitamin C, E, and selenium also support your immunity and the integrity of your tissues. You can use homeopathy. Talk with your natural practitioner about what might be right for you. Aconite is great at the first sign of a cold after exposure to cold, dry wind. Belladonna is great for sudden high fevers with redness anywhere, your throat, your ears, your eyes. Gelsemium is great for colds and flu that take their time coming on when you have the four Ds, drowsy, droopy, dreary, and dull. Take herbs. Echinacea is a classic. Use it early on and in concentration. Golden seal will kill almost anything except you. Ginger is warming and great to drink as a tea. Umkaloabo, find in your health food store is umka, has been studied to prevent and treat colds, thanks to the Zulu of South Africa. Eleuthero is not always thought of for infections, but it works as well as echinacea. And so there's been studies on that. Do hydrotherapy. We already talked about neti pot and nasal cleaning and gargling. The wet sock treatment, where you apply thin cotton socks wrung in cold water to your warmed feet with warm wool socks over top, then sleep that way, and it will draw congestion downward. Hot fomentations. Apply hot towels to your chest to break up congestion. The throat compress has you apply a thin, damp, cold cloth around a warm neck, covered with a warm wool scarf. As the cloth warms up, soak it again in cold water and repeat. The alternation of hot and cold will flush circulation through the area. A hot bath is hot enough to raise your body temperature to 102 degrees and can be helpful and increases the activity of white blood cells. You can drink ginger or yarrow tea to help with sweating, and you can do that while you're in the bath. Steam inhalations has you add mint, eucalyptus, lavender, chamomile, or rosemary. Those are good choices for essential oils to add dropwise to a pot of steaming hot water. Inhale with a towel over your head. And again, if you're going to do a steam inhalation over a pot, take the pot off the burner. Never put your face over a hot pot that is on a burner, because you will burn yourself. All right. So you boil the water, you take it off the heat, and then you add the essential oils and you put a towel over your head and make sure it's not anywhere near the burner. Did I say that?
Don't put your head near the burner.
No, don't put your head near the burner.
So you'll start your head on fire.
You'll burn your face. Right. You'll get burns from the heat of the water. You can also use a vaporizer, you can put water in it, a diffuser, and you can put water in it that has essential oils in it, and it will diffuse water through the air that has the essential oils in it. And that can actually help to bring down viral load, especially if you use essential oils like thyme or rosemary or lavender. Those can be really helpful. Other therapies. Glandulars are purified extracts of organs that supply nutrients and encourage appropriate organs to function well. During a respiratory virus, I may use adrenal, thymus, lymph, and lung, depending on what each person needs. Cell salts. So those are really nice. Those are mineral salts, and they're in an easy-to-take form that address specific symptoms and conditions. They were developed by Schussler, and there are only 12. Your naturopathic physician can choose the right one for you. So I like to use cell salts because they're easy, really easy for people to take. And they're in little sugar pellets, so people can pop them under their tongue, and most people don't mind taking them. I do get people who fuss that they're made in lactose pellets, even though if you're lactose intolerant, that amount of lactose under your tongue is probably not going to give you lactose intolerance. Having said that, the one I give out the most tends to be Cali Sulf, which is Latin for, well, maybe it's Greek, for potassium sulfate. And the indication for that one, which shouldn't be surprising, is thick mucus that's green or yellowish green or greenish yellow. But it's a thick mucus that's greeny, yellowy, and a lot of it's coming out. If you have a sinus infection, often it's going to be that color. You could have a sinus infection that's that color. You could be coughing up mucus that's that color. Secondarily, calc sulf, you want to see that yellow and white going on. And the mucus is not necessarily as thick as what's going on with the Cali sulf. But if it's predominantly yellow with white in it, not so green, and still with some degree of thickness, then I use calc sulf. Cali mirror is weird because the The discharge tends to be kind of grayish, which you'll see sometimes. And if it's you have thick grayish mucus, then Calimera might be the one to try. If you have egg white coming out, so it's going to be, you know, like clear and gooey like egg white, that's Natrum muriaticum. That's a good one to use. Natrum sulfuricum, it's going to be egg whitey and it's going to also be yellow. So Natsulf would be a good one for that. Silica, I would use silica if you're really stuffed up and everything is really stuck and things are not coming out well. Silica is a good cell salt for encouraging discharge. So if your discharge is stuck, it's good for constipation, depending on the indications, and it's good for discharge that just won't come out and just feels stuck. You can use homeopathic silica for a blemish on your face that needs to come out as well. You can use silica for splinters. So those are cell salts. Chinese medicine can also be helpful. Acupuncture will help to correct imbalances in terms of Chinese diagnosis. Then there are silver solutions, maybe colloidal or micronized. There are studies on silver nanoparticles that show it can kill COVID-19. So silver nanoparticles can be helpful for COVID-19 and can be helpful for other viruses as well. I don't use colloidal silver as much as I use silver nanoparticles. Some people swear by colloidal silver. There are people, I did have somebody come in who worried that she overdid it on the silver. So I wound up testing her urine and her blood for silver and she was perfectly fine. In those amounts, it's not going to be a big deal. If you're doing a silver solution that has a high concentration of silver, you could get argentism where you get over-silvered. But the amount that's in silver nanoparticle solutions is likely not going to give that to you. And then there's physical medicine. If you have a subluxation, a slightly dislocated spinal joint, the energy will not flow as readily through your spinal column and therefore to nerves supplying the rest of your body. When you have a respiratory virus, it can be helpful to have your neck manipulated or to do some gentle stretching. Bowen therapy, something I used to do, I don't do so much anymore, can be helpful to get lymphatics moving. Massage around the sternocleidomastoid muscles, that's those big, thick, ropey muscles on the sides of your neck, can help to drain your lymphatics. So take time off and be good to yourself. That's really, really important. So, all right. So we're getting you exercising. And if you have colds and flus, we're getting you resting. So that was the theme for the week. So we wanted to help you to get through any respiratory infection. And next week we'll get into some issues around heart health, particularly heart health in women. So, you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. Views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.